on the way here, up in Gurnard, quite a journey for us, down from Ventnor. And, well, do you want to introduce yourselves?
I'm Jamie.
Douglas.
I'm Chris.
Jones.
And Sal's here as well.
Yeah.
So, thanks for finding time, because I know you're busy with exciting London gigs and stuff. Or is it all quite relaxed and casual?
It's never relaxed.
No?
it's reasonably busy at the moment. Just trying to get some bit of recording done as well at the same time as preparing for the EP launch gig and stuff.
Right. So what, that's for an album, is it?
It's just a four-track EP. Just speculative something.
Just to have more stuff in the can ready for...
Yeah.
Potentially an album or whatever, really. I'm not sure what we'll do
maybe
next.
Another EP, maybe an album.
Right. How does that work with... I mean, one thing we were thinking about on the way over was... It's not an uncommon thought to think the music industry has changed beyond recognition. But it seems that labels now are getting a resurgence, so it's just as important as they were previously.
The small indie labels.
Yeah. It was thought that it was, labels were dead and everyone was going to be selling direct. But have you decided to go through a label? What have you decided to do?
I think it's super important to be involved with people that are excited about that side of the industry. I don't want to spend my time thinking about releases and dates, and that doesn't excite me at all. So you can crack on with the music and you get other people that are as excited, hopefully, about what they're doing.
Right.
And you're onto a good team, right?
Yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Why be tied up with stuff you don't enjoy doing? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also, they've got a bit of money you know, put into promotion online.
Yeah.
Whatever, getting on radio.
And they know the people to actually speak to about all these things.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes it a lot quicker and easier, I guess.
Well, it's a different headspace, I guess, isn't it? When you're doing the music side, it's a sort of more wider, more open thinking, I'd have thought, rather than the business side, which is more focused.
Yeah.
I mean, not saying you're not focused on your music, you feel differently in your head when you're thinking about those two things, don't you?
I just don't really know anything about the business side, really. Like, even with having a bit of a past experience with releases and everything, I don't know, just subconsciously tend to just avoid just thinking about everything.
Right.
Just let that happen.
Because
I guess if it doesn't excite you, then you don't want to take much attention to it.
Right, good thinking.
Not that you're completely naive, but, especially because we know the people we're working with on this release, they're lovely, fantastic people.
Who are they?
Crosskeys Records.
Okay.
Yeah, Alex, Ali and Joss. Alex has got a job in the industry of his own right, done really well for himself in like marketing and such, but always wanted to start his own label. And we feel quite privileged really because he hasn't released anything in a year on this label. They haven't, they haven't just gone and put things out willy nilly. So, they obviously, and they are really excited about it and they're absolutely doing everything they can for us. So.
Apparently they got the vinyls through today and they look very good.
Did they? The blue ones.
Some in the post to us.
Right.
Quite exciting.
Do you know what is it? Is it dark blue you've got on or the light turquoise? Or?
More of a, I think roses tin blue.
They asked us what colour we
want.
Is that an official? That's an official colour now.
Yeah, official colour.
Right. Is that a thing you've always dreamt about having coloured vinyl? Or did they suggest it and you went yes?
I never even thought about it.
I thought about it
when they said it. I thought, oh, didn't even know you did that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was hoping they put it on coloured vinyl, but
yeah.
Didn't really expect it to happen.
Just because you're a fan of coloured vinyl, or
it's just nice, isn't it?
Yeah, special.
Yeah.
Well, talking about special, the gig at Key Arts was just phenomenal. It was the experience of doing it, but the reaction of the audience was just huge. Never known anything like that at Key Arts. Standing ovation, crazy.
Nice.
And I think there was stomping of feet for more as well, wasn't there?
We went off at 7. Kind of thunderous.
Right.
I was a bit worried actually that the whole thing was going to collapse.
Right. Yeah.
That'd be a fairly large chunk out of our fan base.
Especially whereas a lot of our friends were saying, hankering for tickets as well. So there's quite a lot of people that just went along
It was quite a varied
chord, I suppose.
Right. Yeah, it wasn't. It didn't just feel like it was just all your friends there. It just seemed to be a real mixture of people.
Yeah, everybody I asked couldn't get tickets.
Really?
Yeah, like all the people I expected to be going.
Wow.
We're friends, yeah, leave it too late.
Right. So next time you're going to have to do live webcasts to fill your fan base.
That's a thought. I hadn't thought about that. We were thinking about doing two nights in a row.
Because it effectively halves the difficulty of setting things up. Because, you know, you set up once for
sound checks, and then you just do it twice.
Keep reckoning they could have sold out twice.
Yes. Wow.
Quite.
Someone said we had the longest waiting list for tickets they've ever had for anything.
Really? Wow, that's brilliant.
Yeah, really cool.
But I think there was some behind us was the grandma of Chris. Named Chris.
Right.
Who she thought, oh, look at him, he's brilliant, isn't he? Absolutely loving every minute. Oh, look, he can talk as well.
Great commentary.
Yeah, she was great.
I'm really lucky to have the people in the choir and the strings, ladies on the strings.
Yeah.
You know, they put in a lot of their own time, you know, and drove around for us and practiced, and they were excited about it. But it's
hopefully we can rope them in again.
Yeah.
But I mean, over time, it's the band seems to have grown and gathered in more and more people. Was that a part thing that you'd intended to do from the outset, or it's just happened that way?
It's not that we intended to make a massive band, and it's not that we'll do that for every gig. It's just kind of think on it as a sort of gig by gig basis or whatever. You think, okay, how can we make this thing as good as possible? Same with the recording. If we want someone to play a bassoon on a recording, then we'll find one bassoonist.
But we'd probably struggle.
Is a bassoonist called a bassoonist, or is that a special?
Yeah, they are, and they have them in the symphony orchestra.
Yeah.
On the Isle of Wight. So if you need one,
I'm sure.
But bassoons are us.
Yeah. It's not that we're
just trying no compromises, really. You know.
Mm. Right.
Which I think this is a lot.
That's bold. Said for it. Yeah.
Because otherwise, you know, you could. If you took out everything that took more effort than, usual, maybe, then.
Yeah.
I'd actually, if we had the option of having an entire orchestra play with us, rather than saying, oh, no, that's probably a bit tricky, we'd work out something for them to do.
Right.
And Doug's there frantically writing all the parts out.
Right.
I'd like that idea of doing it as well as you can. Because it's not the approach that everyone takes, because it's risky, isn't it? Well, one, it takes effort, but secondarily, it's risky because it may fall over.
Yeah, and there's a lot to get sort of 17 people on the stage all knowing what they're doing and
where they're supposed to come in. And,
you know, having a couple of practices beforehand and whatever. Yeah, it takes some coordinating.
And where are you doing those practices? Because you can't be doing that in the back room.
No, we did some sort of practices, like we just practiced with just the choir and the sort of piano and a few bits in the back room, and then
we did just the strings.
And then we basically had one practice with all of us up at Studio 5A.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's big enough to take everyone.
Not really. Right. It was tight.
What, in the corridors? And,
yeah.
Right.
I think we could have done it here, actually. We put the choir in the kitchen. And on Holst. Planets. There's one where they have a hidden choir, and they have to. You've got to.
Well, like in a cupboard.
Yeah, yeah. The choir are off stage, so the audience can't see them, and they come through the passageways, and then it's scored at the end. You have to like close the doors silently.
Right.
It says close doors. Like to fade out the choir.
Right. So I mean, that's touching on the classical side. Is that your training, is it? Is that where you've come from? Because the piano bits seem to be influenced on that side.
Yeah, definitely. I like a lot of classical music and listen to it and think about it. I wouldn't say I've done bits and pieces of training or whatever, learning that. Not particularly. I wouldn't say I'm amazing classical pianist or anything like that, but I find it quite interesting. I like listening to it.
Was it your parents saying, go learn the piano, it's going to be useful one day?
Yeah, but I probably played the piano when I was about six, and so did Jamie. But then kind of on and off. It was never like forced down my throat or anything like that. I kind of went away from it for a few years and then came back like, oh yeah, it's quite fun. And but I never, I was not until about sort of 17, 18 that I started really focusing more on music.
And what about you, Jamie? You the same route as well?
No, I can't really play anything. I just play everything badly.
Whatever's required, he shall learn.
When we first started out the band, I was playing bass, and then we realised that we needed someone to play little bits of whatever the song required. So it made sense to get Tom to play bass, because he can actually play the bass really well,
right.
And I can't. So I became that person who plays a little bit of whatever we need.
Right. And two things at the same time, quite often.
I'm trying to avoid that now. Trying to phase that out, but yeah. It's...
Quick as what? Because it melts your brain, or what's the reason to phase it out?
Well, the thing is, like, when I have to play the trumpet and the pads, I can't really grip the trumpet properly, so it sometimes goes wrong. And it's just, yeah, why make it like any harder than really
compromising. Yeah. Killer.
So that means you're going to have another person in the band then?
No.
Your tour's going to need 5 buses.
I think the general, the normal band would be 5 of us and no more than that.
Yeah, we have to get an exciting show, the 5 of us. Everything else is just...
Right.
Also, if there's 20 of you in the band, then you don't make any money.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah,
not that's what it's about.
Yeah.
Well, you've got to survive.
You've got to sustain.
It's hard enough to get 5 people together to practice, let alone 20 as well.
Yeah. So that was what you played in the castle, was it? That was 5 there.
Yeah.
I can't remember there was...
Yeah.
I mean, it's
was
pretty limited size.
I think most of the times we've seen you, it's been 5.
Mm.
Apart from downstairs at Key Arts, where you had some of the girls coming in singing and you had some of the strings.
A couple of
acoustic
thing,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Shane playing the extra drums.
Right.
Always brilliant.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, two drummers this time, of course.
Mm.
Yeah. What was that like? Is that a newer
thing? I'd normally always have 2 drummers if I could, you know. I mean, sometimes when you go to record something, there's rarely just one take of what you can do.
Uh-huh.
And there is sometimes, but...
It's usually a good 40 tracks of drums or something.
Yeah, it's with everyone, but it's definitely Chris will do a Bumby as well. Oh yeah, I've got these other bits I want to put on, like shakers and some more shell percussion and wood blocks and... Before long, you come with sort of 15 tracks of percussion. And then everything sounds busy.
Right.
Why does it sound busy?
Is there an official name for the shells on a bit of string?
Shells.
Right, okay.
It's good, isn't it, finding new sounds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got some more ideas. Let's get a crack on them.
Right. And that's self-made, is it? The shells on a bit of string?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny, though. People go, "Wow, what's that instrument?"
You got to go. You got to come up with a name for it, and then
how do you do that? Yeah. Oh,
right.
It's
hard. Yeah, lots of drilling.
Yeah, 10 minutes.
So the London gig is going to be the 5 of you playing.
Yeah.
And the venue. I mean, I know of its location, and years back it was. I know that area's changed tremendously around there, and sort of Angel has. Or Islington sort of spread down towards King's Crossway, so it's all been poshed up around there now, hasn't it?
I don't know much about
London. Okay.
Stoke Newington.
Well, that's definitely a changed area.
It's the Champs are playing
Champs.
The same night in the Lexington.
Yeah. How did you time that?
Yeah, so that was another reason we thought we wouldn't manage to sell out the gig, because Isle of Wight people in London, it's a split crowd.
Right.
That's cool though, isn't it?
Yeah,
two
it's mad.
Bands just take,
yeah.
On good gigs.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. And with our album just out as well, of course.
Yeah, yesterday came out.
Yeah. So I don't know the place you're playing at then, and so ignore what I just said before.
That's right.
Is it relatively small, or is it a big place, or have you been up there to look at it?
No, I think it's 120 capacity or something.
Okay.
So pretty small.
Yeah.
Not a very big stage. We got the stage... dimensions and things like okay.
Right.
I guess it's just the 5 of us then.
Right.
Just before every gig, I think we just sort of think, well, what do we want to get across?
Mm.
Or how do we want it to go?
Right.
You know, rather than just go and do the same set time.
Right.
You have, haven't you, really? If you really want it to go as well as you can, you can't.
Yeah.
You've got to tailor it a bit, but yeah, it'd be nice to get a bit of an atmosphere on stage, you know, a bit of some props, what have you,
yeah.
to create a bit of a world rather than, yeah, I think if you can get people excited before you even play.
Right. Right, builds that anticipation.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly, it's gotta help. With the Key Arts gig, it was definitely that,
yeah,
you know, the
good.
Scene was set.
Yeah,
it was certainly the best looking stage we've ever had at a gig, so
right.
it'd be nice to do that every time.
Yeah.
We've not done a gig, that was the first time we've used, like, projections and stuff as well.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Which I think we'll do it there.
Right.
Try and do it the London one as well.
And
yeah.
that was you guys getting that stuff together, or did you have somebody else that did the projections for you? Gathering the images?
We just did that, yeah.
yeah.
Mix it up a bit.
Knows what he wants in these situations anyway. So,
so you what? You visualise it beforehand.
Well,
or you've got a feeling of what it should be like. As you say, you discuss it beforehand.
I don't know.
Some projections and stuff. Some of it. I guess you have ideas of how you want things to go.
It was more. I had a lot of things that I thought might look nice, and there were a lot of songs, and it was just a case of trying to match things
right.
up to songs. So it was not the easiest thing to do, but. It's amazing how almost any video works with almost any music.
Right.
It changes.
It seems to
fall
into
very well chosen.
Time.
They
right.
look like, you know, you'd really picked out
right.
those particular things.
For the
tracks
but
that you're playing.
Yeah, and even you watch something and it, and you just put around a video on and it makes it move. It almost
uh-huh.
moves in time with it. And like, I think maybe it's the way your brain locks on to the bits that land with the beats or something.
Right.
I don't know. But it's just,
well, the human brain's obsessed with making patterns, isn't it?
Mm.
Trying to make sense of everything. So maybe it is that. Well, there you're on a winner then.
Well,
the audience is doing more than half the work. It's a good background. And then, so after London, what's it going to be? Because that's the launch of the EP.
I don't know, actually.
We've got a few more gigs lined up.
We've got one in Bournemouth. When's that? End April? April 25th or something.
Okay.
And then another one in Bristol, we're playing a little sort of festival there.
Uh-huh, right.
Called Dot to Dot. But,
yeah. It's a great city, Bristol.
Yeah, me and Jamie both lived there for a few years.
Okay.
Yeah, not really sure, actually.
Should be playing to a few, hopefully, to a few booking agents in London, so...
Right.
Yeah, that's...
When on the, this
on
coming...
Yeah,
yeah,
I think that's
right.
kind of one of the purposes of doing the gig, really.
Right. Doing
uh-huh.
it there, yeah, rather than here.
And
right.
that's why just doing it at the five of you, then they can sort of visualise actually what they can put on the road and stuff.
Right, okay.
Let's have fingers crossed to fill into it then.
Yeah. So that's something that the record company organises to get those people along to?
More a manager than the record. Label.
Okay.
But yeah.
Right.
They might have brought some people along as well.
Yeah.
So that's different to Cross Keys Records, so that's they're doing the managing as well?
No, we've got a manager called Joe who... We started working with before the Cross Key stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
And how do you get hooked up with them? You just happen to know them, or you knew them from previous work, or
he got in touch with us really. He does stuff. He did like all the stuff with the Bees.
Right.
And still does bits with Paul Butler and stuff.
Yeah.
And,
someone sent him a video of
a couple of guys. Yeah.
Live Polaroids video that we did. Last year,
right.
Someone had sent him that.
Right.
I think he heard from a few different angles within a couple of weeks. So
right.
Something's happening.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
He's like, "Cool. What's this about?"
Right. Okay.
And I think he's been hankering to get on the band.
Right.
Again,
yeah.
Which is great. He's really a super nice guy.
It must be exciting for those people because I mean, there's a lot of music around that isn't that inspiring. For them to come across people that. That one, you love the music, but then you can see this, you know, this idea of doing it as well as possible. I don't know, is that common? It's just maybe I'm too jaundiced, my view of the music industry.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's not something that we really consider, like whether we have a different outlook on what we're doing to other bands.
Because you're just
doing
do
it.
What
we want to
yeah.
do, how we think we should do it, I guess, yeah. But yeah, I don't know. They all seem excited about it. Nice. They were definitely excited after the gig.
They were there as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Two of the guys from the labour and Joey, the manager.
Right.
Okay.
I think they're all a bit confused actually. They got there. We were sound checking, and the manager was like, "So, there's two drummers now. Yeah. and these people choir. Are there, so are they in the band permanently? I was like, maybe. I suppose. They are tonight.
Yeah.
That is good.
I like that though, you've got your core band and then you can bring people in as and when if it's a venue is of the right size that you can do it or
there'll be some gigs where Doug just does some piano and a few singers or you do a whole gig of instrumental music or Doug writes a lot of music and we all it's just making music, isn't it? Hoping that other people enjoy it to some degree of what you get out of it. And then
so that's the drive for it, to share with others then?
That's
the drive.
Is that the impetus or the what makes you want to think that way?
I don't know why we do it.
Maybe it isn't.
Maybe it isn't. Actually, on reflection.
It's a natural. Very good question. What is it all about?
I think you just enjoy it, don't you? You have,
not
all the time, but there's moments when it makes you feel
fulfilled. We're doing it if no one else ever listened to it anyway.
Yeah.
It's still playing music.
Yeah. Yeah. Still be doing it if no one wanted to listen to it. Yeah.
It's probably good for your self-preservation if other people are enjoying it and you can actually make a life out of it, perhaps.
Mm. Mm.
I guess getting the feedback from people, if people enjoy it, that must be a good boost.
It's nice to know that it's been well received, isn't it?
Yeah.
What you're doing. Like anything, I suppose, like, why would dancers put on shows, or why do people compete, or...
It's interesting, there is this sort of obsession with making money out of stuff, and I think there's a lot of people approach it as in music, partially, but also other things they do. Not from the passion, but how can we turn this into a business, I guess, effectively?
Yeah.
Whereas it used to be driven by what you're talking about.
Yeah, the sort of the love for it, I guess.
And frankly, pleasing yourselves.
Yeah.
And if other people like it, great.
And the thing is,
we do it ourselves anyway.
Yeah, if you can make a bit of money out of it, then you can keep doing it. Put more time into it.
It's probably going to go straight back into it anyway, isn't it?
Let's face
it.
Right.
It's not like you spend any money on anything other than music equipment.
Right.
So,
if you make some money out of it, it means you can put a bigger car on the road to get a few more people along or to
get a recording space or whatever, Yeah.
Well, Sal was saying after the gig that you could imagine film scores and that kind of stuff. You're doing.
I'd love to do a film score.
So much fun. Maybe make your film first, and then you can score it afterwards.
Yeah, it's true. There's a couple of bits. I've got some... it was actually at the gig, there was a bit where there was some Super 8 footage of me making a surfboard and surfing. Yeah. I got a bit more footage from that, and the first time we were watching it, I just put on some music, which was... I think some Polish composers like some piano pieces, and it was just really great, like with the video. And then it was, I don't know, I'm kind of thinking I might try and write a piano piece to go with that, and then like make a little film out.
I guess there's also that chance of collaboration with others as well, isn't there? That when people feel inspired at a gig, then they come up after you and say, you know, we've just got to work together somehow. I don't know how, but let's just keep it in mind. And if something ideal comes up, then work together on something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be nice if someone came along and said, we need you to make a soundtrack to a film.
Yeah.
There's always hope. Well, good luck. Well, thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
That's all right.
Lovely sunny day.
Isn't it? It was cold earlier.
It was really sharp. It still looked nice, but still sharp.
I think it's going to be like this all week.
It's good in here. It's a bit misleading.
Yeah.
Right. Amazing plants. Well, look, thanks a lot. Cheers.
Cheers.
Okay. Thanks.